Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Peter wrote to his fellow elders in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Paul spoke to the elders of the church in Ephesus, as recorded in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, while some have grave misconceptions regarding the eldership, let us focus our attention on their primary work. They're not just decision makers like some board of directors or business executives. They're certainly not bosses holding some honorary position where duties are discharged at regular meetings. Their position is not a political one. To become an elder is to assume a work more than a position. And what work? Their work involves many matters as seen in the charges that Peter gave to the elders, his instructions and his warnings, as well as seen in the qualifications of 1 Timothy and Titus. We're going to focus on this lesson on just one of those duties, and that is to feed the flock. Now, to feed means to pasture, to tend, to direct, to superintend, to rule, to govern, to protect, and to provide, including spiritual watch care. Now, these duties imply a certain authority in order to discharge this work. God has not assigned the elders work and then tied their hands from doing it. Our text mentions oversight. Therefore, feed centers attention on seeing to it that the church is properly nourished and fed and taught spiritually. The church is not just to be fed anything. It matters what the spiritual diet of the ones they oversee is, and for whom they exercise care. Let us mention a few points with which I think we all can easily agree. The elders and the qualifications include apt to teach, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. There must be a readiness and a willingness to this work, and it demands knowledge and wisdom and ability. He must be able to teach publicly and privately, by precept and by example. He must demonstrate as well as explain. And what does he teach? He is to hold fast the faithful word, exhorting and sound the doctrine, convicting the gainsayer, Titus 1 and verse 9. And he cannot do that without extensive knowledge of the word. He must speak the word of God, Hebrews 13, 7. The word is the diet for the church. Those of the church must admonish the church. Now, this does not demand that they exclusively do this work personally, even though they should have the capacity to do it. If they only were to so function, that would eliminate other teachers and preachers altogether, would it not? But inasmuch as they have the oversight, all the teaching is under their direction and supervision. They are responsible for it. And those who preach and teach under them are accountable to them as well as to God. I must admit I did once meet a so-called elder who contended that elders are not responsible for what came from the pulpit. Dear friend, he was either responsible or he was hopelessly irresponsible. Yes, elders are responsible for what is fed to their flock. And elders must give reason for hope, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Do you not know that one cannot lead where he will not go? He cannot teach what he does not know. As all teaching and preaching, it must include exhorting and reproving and rebuking. Of all people, Elders must earnestly contend for the faith, be set for its defense. If that is not the case, weakness reigns right at the head. And elders must be able to give answer to issues that arise. Congregations have the right and the need to expect the elders to keep abreast with the issues confronting the church, and to inform the members, and to teach the truth regarding these issues. Oh, some decry issues because they don't want to deal with them, and the flock suffers as a result. The early church faced many issues: Judaism, the resurrection, the second coming, apostasy, the Lord's Supper, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Even the deity of Christ was challenged. Elders must know the answer to these questions if they are going to have their flock in the proper care. And elders have the foremost duty to see that their flock hears the truth. Life is filled with making decisions. Brethren must have the basis of truth upon which to make life's decisions. Elders cannot make the personal decisions for the members, but they are to teach them the standards of God. Members must be aware of their duties. They must know right from wrong. They must be able to distinguish the sheep from the wolves. Elders must provide this information. The best preventive to digression and apostasy is a membership, not just the eldership, a membership that can discern between truth and error, because they have been taught the truth, and error has been exposed and opposed. The most frustrated people on earth are those who are not taught. When the congregation knows the word, the devil and his servants cannot breach the walls. Obviously, therefore, elders must know what is being taught, and who is doing the teaching, and how it's being done. Some teaching is trite and shallow and wrong. There's no place for literature that teaches unsound and uncertain doctrine. And in many instances, the one who stands against false teachers is the preacher, while some elders sit idly by on the side. This is never the way it's supposed to be in a congregation. Elders have the right to allow truth to be taught. Elders have no right to allow false doctrines and sinful behavior to go unchecked and uncorrected. They have no right to forbid the teaching of any truth. And it is in their interest, as well as in the interest of others, that all truth be taught to everybody. And part of the noble work of elders is to protect their flock from the poisonous food of the doctrines of men. They should not allow those who serve such food into their midst to teach. They are rather to lead by the still waters and the green pastures of truth. This is primary in performing their God-given work as an elder of the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter speaks of the sincere milk of the Word. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For one cannot grow without proper nourishment. And it has been the unfortunate occurrence that some who have assumed the task of an elder have allowed the sheep to be led into the noxious weeds of religious error, preferring to have what they call peace rather than standing upright for the truth. That such causes the sheep to be weak and sickly and malnourished, even destroyed, does not seem to cause some elders concern, so long as nobody gets his feelings hurt and nobody gets upset. They will allow those who profess to be angels of light, but who teach error, to conduct their services, preach in their pulpits, teach in their classes, generally exercise an unrestricted influence in the congregation. Unless elders stay aware of what's going on in their flock and round about them, unless they take a kind but firm stand for the truth on every matter, unless they prevent some from presenting the liberal and digressive junk food, they will deprive their flock of the rich, strength-giving nourishment that God wants the flock to have. And the people will be led astray and tossed to and fro by most anything that comes down the track. I am persuaded, friend, and I would persuade every listener if I could, that strong and faithful elderships could have prevented the divisions that occurred over the anti-cooperation and anti-orphan home issues that plagued the church some years ago. And they could have prevented the liberal apostasy that presently grips the Lord's church. They have the authority to make and keep things right. Too many do not know what is right, and therefore they will not stand for the right, and they fear those who are wrong, and they generally abandon the flock to the wolves. But something that complicates the work of elders is when the flock has no appetite for what the elders must serve them. Whether the flock is hungry or not, elders cannot change the menu. Only the Word of God provides the spiritual nourishment for growth and recovery and steadfastness. Elders must see to it that the flock receives a balanced diet. They must keep in check any preacher or teacher who rides a hobby, giving emphasis to only the negative or the positive side of the truth to the neglect of the other. From milk to meat, that's the goal. The whole counsel of God is what is necessary. This includes first principles and the plan of salvation. This includes the manner of life as a Christian. It demands teaching regarding work and worship, and human relationships, such as in the home as well as in the marketplace. They must be shown the proper relationship that exists between grace and law and mercy and blood and works of obedience and all the other components of the doctrine of Christ. It means teaching about Christ and teaching that is His. There is no place for substituting gospel sermons with just mere pep talks or entertainment, simply to make people feel good, an emphasis on style rather than on substance. Mothers who care for their family serve balanced meals, giving them what is needed, possibly not always just what they want. If that were so, some families would have nothing but pizza to eat. When we hear it said that the church has grown biblically ignorant, we know the blame lies with preachers and teachers, but also with elderships who have not demanded, "Thus saith the Lord," preaching. No diet is balanced that does not include respect for divine authority for what is believed and practiced. One need not give 50 reasons why something is wrong when there's no authority for it to begin with. Too many members want something soothing and popular and attractive, something that appeals to the world. Elders cannot be sidetracked with such as that. It is absurd to think that elderships cannot control what is taught. They have the power, they have the right, to choose the preachers, the teachers, the literature, and the versions. Nothing is more ridiculous than for elders to invite false teachers into their midst. Now, they may inadvertently and accidentally invite one, but once it is known, they should remove him immediately. One elder told me about a man they invited to a gospel meeting, and they later learned he was unsound regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But they let him come, contending that he was already invited, and it was too late to do anything about that. Friend, that's just so much rubbish. Men of responsibility would have stopped him if they had not known of his false ways until he was walking up to the pulpit. They could tell him to sit down. That's the duty of elders. One elder asked me how you can find out about preachers and what they believe, and I suggested he ask them. Now, they may not tell you the truth every time, but it is irresponsible to make no effort to know. Send them a questionnaire before he comes. And he may be insulted that he is questioned, but let him be insulted. Elders must provide only good food. He has no right to be insulted. Elders have the right to know what he's going to teach. Being a good elder, friend, is not child's play. I know of no human duty that demands more of a man than overseeing the spiritual welfare of a group of Christians. Good elders deserve our support and our encouragement, especially as they attend to this primary duty of seeing that the flock is properly fed. It calls from them experience and knowledge and wisdom and skill. It takes patience and kindness and firmness, great love and steadfastness. You name the noble quality, they must have it to a greater degree than most. They must operate without being led by the nose by preachers and college presidents and editors and big-name brethren, the desire for finances and numbers and popularity. Elders are limited in attempts to suppress the truth or forbid the truth being taught. They cannot change or tamper with or alter or substitute what God has said is true. But good, good elders, they never have that desire anyway. They know the gospel must be preached in season and out of season, and they want it so. Elders will either assume and properly discharge this task to feed the flock, and they shall give answer to God. And they shall give answer to God if they neglect doing so. God help them as they serve faithfully before God and their brethren. Elders, feed the flock the word of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.